Grace to you and peace from God our Father on this Reformation Day Sunday and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, God has been teaching us over the last number of weeks on being in the world but not of the world. And we have seen that we are pilgrims in this life. Do you understand that you are pilgrims? We are like those that left England on the way to the new world, and we're passing across the sea of this life. Our new life is awaiting us in heaven, at the new world, at the ocean for the shore. We're like Israel, who have left Egypt and bondage to Pharaoh. We are in the wilderness on our way to the promised land. We are like Pilgrim here in Pilgrim's Progress. Have you read this by John Bunyan? Where he's left the city of destruction, and he is on the king's highway, on the road to the celestial city. Yes, we are pilgrims in this life, and today I'd like to talk with you about the character of the pilgrim's heart, what God wants to see in you, especially with respect to fear and being afraid. Is this what God would desire for us? We live in the midst of a world. If we're traveling across the sea, this life, we're in a world full of fears, aren't we? Fears of all kinds of things. Fears of money. Will we be able to pay the bills? Fears of our health. Will we continue in health? What if our sickness leads us downhill? What if we lose a spouse? Fear of that. Fear also of married life for some. Others, fear of single life. There is in jobs the fear of failure. There's even the fear of success. In fact, I think Jerry Seinfeld said this fear of success shows that we're really running out of fears in the world when we're even afraid of doing well at things. We're afraid of so many things in life. We're afraid sometimes of living life. Sometimes we're afraid, in fact, all of us at some time, of death and of dying. Are you afraid to die? What are you afraid of in life? Is that the character of the pilgrim? Actually, in Pilgrim's Progress, there's a story at the beginning of his second book where he talks about some of the saints that had gone before. One of them was named Master Fearing, another Master Feeble Mind. They were saved too, and God loved them, yet they made it to heaven sort of crippled and with much crying and solitariness and tears. But then he tells another one named Valiant for the Truth, and another one Great Heart, and Valiant for the Truth and Great Heart at one time even stormed a castle named Doubting and slew a giant named Despair. Which one are you today? What's the character of the heart of a pilgrim that God would have for you? Is it fearing or valiant for the truth? What would be your name if you as a pilgrim had a name? What you do? What is it? Well, let's talk then today about the heart of the pilgrim and about fear, being afraid, and what God has to say to us about these things. The first thing God says to you is, it is not my will that my own children, my sons of the kingdom and daughters, should be afraid. Afraid of anything. Or have fear at all dwelling in their hearts, of any worldly fear. In fact, let me see if I can show that today in the Scriptures. Think I can do that? Let's see what God's will is. First of all, to understand, before we get to how we can create, or how God creates that in us, let's see what God desires. Does he say, oh, be much afraid, be worried about life, be anxious, remember the lilies and the sparrows, they're all worried out there? No. Genesis 15, God says to Abraham, fear not, Abraham, I am your shield. Abraham was great, he was afraid, God said, fear not. How about Moses, the great Moses? God says to him in the wrong chapter here, going back to Numbers, he says of Moses fighting Og, king of Bashan, a very powerful army and king, says, do not fear him, for I have given him into your hand and all his people and his land. How about this? We go to another place, to the people of Israel in Exodus 14. They're at the cusp or the edge of the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army is about to march down on the defenseless people, and God says to them, fear not, and stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. And what more shall I say? We go on to Exodus 14. God says to Joshua, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Be not frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord God is with you wherever you will go. I will not fail you nor forsake you." And then David says, "Let no man's heart fail because of Goliath. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And then, in the days of Jehoshaphat, God says to that king, "Fear not, be not dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." There was a woman who was starving, the widow of Zarephath, and Elijah says to her, "Fear not, go and do as you have said, for thus says the Lord, the jar of meal shall not be spent, nor the cruse of oil shall, and that shall not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." Are you convinced yet? Elisha is facing the great army of Syria. His master cries out, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" "Fear not, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Daniel, "Fear not, for from the day you first set your mind to understand and humble yourself, your words have been heard." Ezekiel, "Do not be afraid." Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer is heard." "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Paul, "You're afraid in Corinth? Don't be afraid, but speak and do not be silent, for I have many men in this city." He's on a sinking ship, and God says, "Do not be afraid, Paul, you must stand before Caesar." And we all heard the disciples on the boat a few minutes ago, and Jesus says, "Why are you afraid? Where is your faith?" How about that? So, what do you think? Can we give a little round of applause to God here? Can you say yes or no as to whether He really wants your hearts to be timid, much afraid? Is that your name on the Christian life? Feeble mind, fearing? Or is it should be valiant for the truth? Or great heart? Maybe your heart isn't great today. Maybe you are feeble-minded. Maybe you're fearing. God loves you still. He'll see your way through. But what God wants to create in us, you see, is valiant for the truth. Because He said, how many times, and this isn't even a complete exhaustive concordance of that, "Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. Do not fear." In fact, perfect love casts out all fear. So let's talk then about how God creates this new heart in us as pilgrims. Because just imagine it. What if for the rest of your life you're facing money? Oh, will the business succeed? What about my job? What about if I get sick? What if my spouse gets sick? What about when I face death? If you could face all those things with the Lord as valiant for the truth and say, "Come one, come all, the Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. I will trust and not be afraid." Wouldn't you like that? Well, let's talk then about it today. What does God say to us then, to His people, besides the repetitive word, which is good, "Do not be afraid"? Well, He says, if we'll turn to Isaiah chapter 8, God says this, "Thus spoke the Lord to me," to Isaiah, "with His strong hand upon me, and warned me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, 'Do not call conspiracy all that this people call conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread, but the Lord of hosts, Him you shall regard as holy. Let Him be your fear, let Him be your dread.'" So guess what? The first thing that God would say if you want to overcome fears is fear. But fear, one, cast all the other fears aside and put one fear up and above all the rest. For in Deuteronomy chapter 6, God says, "You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve Him and swear by His name. You shall not go after other gods of the gods of the peoples who are round about you." Who are the peoples round about you? What kinds of things are they afraid of? That I mentioned already, right? As we're passing through this wilderness, everyone's afraid. Christians or non-Christians, God says, don't go in with all the other gods or fears that the rest of the world's going with. Have one fear. Because guess what? The thing you fear the most, I'm not saying you just have no fears that you can be totally perfect that way, but which thing do you fear the most? What sets you above all the other fears that they would lose their power? It's having the fear of the Lord. It's keeping your eyes on the one who has the power. So you might be wondering, "Oh, I'm afraid of getting sick," or "I'm afraid of the sickness of my spouse." Well, is that putting you in a petrifying fear? Then sickness has become your God. Let me ask you, who's greater, sickness or your God? Which one? The one you fear most becomes your God, right? So you may not want your spouse to be sick. It may pain you, and that's good. That's holy. But hey, guess what? My God is super and above all those sicknesses. How about fear of your job or fear of money? Are you putting your fear of those things above your fear of the Lord? Which one's greater to you? If your money is causing you to live in total squalor of spirit, then money has become your God, or your job, or life, or death. Are you afraid to die? What if someone were to come in here today and threaten us all? Or you to be hit in an accident, and you're facing death today. Something like that. Or when I got a kidney stone, I felt like I was facing death. Remember that? Well, I was afraid at that time, but guess what? I had a fear that was super above that fear, which created a peace in me despite my fears. Which what if death, you are afraid of that more than God, then death has become your God. But rather, we want to set God above all things. Let not yourselves be afraid of all the things that the world is afraid of. But do this, fear one. In fact, listen to what Jesus does. This is really cool. In Mark chapter 5, watch the fears of the world and watch how Jesus reacts to it. Ready? Mark chapter 5, there's a ruler. His daughter's ill and sick. And it says that Mark 5:35. There we are. And he said to her, daughter, while he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house someone who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? But Jesus, ignoring what they said, said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. So what did Jesus do? Oh, your daughter is dead. Terrible sorrow, pain, fear. Your worst fears come upon you, Jesus. Ignored it all. Ignored it. Not going to listen to you. I know God. In fact, I am God. And I'm going to raise her. So don't be afraid. Stop being afraid. Do not fear, only believe, and she shall be well. So what does it mean to fear the Lord, though? It means to put your trust in Him, to put your confidence in Him, to love Him above all, to know that He is the God of all power, more powerful than whatever you're afraid of, and is going to save you. For the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. Let me just show this to you, that when you're afraid of something, it's because you think that thing's a threat to you. But what if someone is standing behind that threat, much bigger than the threat itself, with power above your threat? Oh, and he's for you. The threat goes away. Hey, you're scary. Sickness, death, money, job, but look who's standing behind you. He's a lot bigger than you. He's the one I'm keeping my eyes on, and therefore I'm not afraid, because he's going to smash you to pieces. Remember Naomi a number of years ago in Wisconsin and the tornado? The story of her and the tornado? She was what? How old was she, Beth? Just 4 years old, and there was a tornado going through the Wisconsin village where she was, town. And everybody else was afraid. She was at a friend's house. And the husband stepped outside and saw the clouds start to swirl right over their home. And it landed. He saw it touch down right across the street. And they watched the next day. The destruction went up this way, this street, came right for their house, came to their house, lifted up over the house where Naomi was, and landed on the house right next to them. And then the Heather, who was the mother there, said everybody else was afraid except Naomi, because Naomi was saying, don't be afraid, God will save us. She had a fear above the fear of what she said was, Dad, there was an angry tomato. You know, she knew it was a tornado, but she called it a tomato. But my point is, fear God. What are you afraid of? Get your eyes upon Him who has power over whatever you're being afraid of, and your fear will lose its power. And the second thing God would say to us today about that is, when you fear God, you also got to remember with that He is for you. This is what we're remembering on Reformation Day. Because you may say in your fears, well, my eyes are on the Lord, but I don't really know if He's for me or not. You ever feel that way? If I were to give you a test today and you say, oh, is God stronger than your sickness? Is God stronger than death? Is God stronger than your job or your money? You could say, you all go on your test, yes. You get the question correct. But you wonder if God's really going to use that power for you, right? Do you really know that God is for you? How about because you've sinned so much? How could God really come and deliver me because I'm a bad guy? I'm a sinner. Why would God help me? Well, that's what Luther discovered, is that he felt at one time like he hated God because God had a great law he couldn't keep, and he could never be close to God because of trying to offer his works to God. But when he came to faith, he came to realize God is a gracious God. He says this, therefore, the one thing I'm seeking and thirsting for is nothing else than a gracious God. Do you realize that God is for you? Well, this is the gospel, that he sent his own Son to be your Savior, to shed his blood for you while you are yet his enemy. You are saved by grace, apart from what you've done. God loves you anyway. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Let's take death for just a second. Okay? You're afraid of death? You're afraid to die? Don't you look upon this one who stands before you today, through me, speaking through me, saying, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Do you believe this? Now, I'm not asking you today just to have a check mark knowledge, like you can answer it right on a test type of thing. Is this in your heart? Do you really believe that God is for you? That he has the power not only to save you, but the will to do so? Doesn't he delight in the welfare of his servants? God, as it says in Psalm 56, this I know, that God is for me. I want you to go away today remembering and knowing that this God is not only powerful, but is for you with his power. And then lastly also, he's not only powerful, he's not only the one to fear, he's not only the one to love, because you come in grace through the gospel that he shed his blood for you by grace to save you, but also he's promised to be with you always. If you go through life on Sundays, yeah, God's with me here. And God's with me in my good times. But how about when I'm facing my great fears? How about when I one day face death face to face? How about when I'm facing perhaps the loss of a spouse or sickness of a spouse or my own sickness? Do you really know God's with you there? Well, this is one of the things he says in Joshua by which we are confident that we don't lose our... Excuse me, hang in. Just turning to the right page here. In Joshua, he says this, I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. Don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do you believe that? Once when I was jumping out of an airplane. Sounds like a pretty stupid thing to do, right? If you've never done it before, you might be afraid about that. And I was afraid to a certain degree. But you know what gave me confidence? You know what put all my fears aside, or most of them, so they didn't rule me? Is that I was jumping a tandem jump. That I knew that there was a very experienced professional skydiver attached to my back. If I die, he dies. And so I'm jumping out of the plane my first time. I'm pretty much of a novice at it. It's scary. I haven't plummeted to the earth from 11,000 feet before. But I got someone on my back who knows everything about this, is going to, if I don't pull the cord, he's going to do it. This is the kind of confidence you got to have when you face your fears. Whatever they are, the worst things of your life that are putting you in petrifying fear, say, hey, even if I don't pull the cord, he's going to pull it. He's going to get me safely to the ground. Do you believe that? Can you go out this week with the faith in Christ that he's with you wherever you go? Oh yeah, God's with me on Sundays. God's with me when I do a good job or do his will. But do you believe he's with you by grace even when you don't deserve it, because He forgives your sins and He loves you. That's the confidence you need to have. I'm jumping out of this plane, Lord, in my money, in my job, in my sickness I'm facing, even in my death, in my funeral, in my tombstone. Yeah, but I'm going to have a safe landing because I'm attached to somebody, to my God who is on my back, who is going to bring me safely down. And that's His promise. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Stop being afraid. Where is your faith? Look to the One who has the power over all these things, who is for you. For you. For you. Do you believe that? I just got to stop here for a second and say that before I conclude. Do you really believe He's for you? Yes. God is for you. Let that get into your heart today. God is for you. This I know, that God is for me. And He's with me wherever I go. And therefore, I'll conclude with this from Isaiah chapter 12. Therefore, in the Lord I will trust without a fear. What can man do me? Psalm 56. I will trust in the Lord without a fear. What can man do to me? Isaiah 12. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.